Good morning.
Good morning.
We started a series asking big questions in the Bible, and last week we looked at what it means to be lost, and we recognized that to be lost, according to God's Word, means that we were dead. We were spiritually dead and separated from God. We were enslaved by sin. We were objects of God's wrath when we were lost. And even as we spoke about what it means to be lost, a lot of the focus was on sin and sinful man, but of course on what an awesome God we have. Today we're going to ask, what does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be saved? And I'm really happy to say that salvation is of the Lord, and so our attention gets to be more on Him today instead of us. And yet we have this relationship, so we'll touch on us a bit in this too. But Jonah, when he was in the belly of the fish, was praying. And I believe his last words, his famous last words before getting spit out of the fish, was he said, "Salvation is of the Lord." I think that's a good thing in the last moments of your dilemma before the deliverance is to acknowledge God's the one who's bringing me out of this. God's the one who is the Savior and Deliverer. Charles Wesley, some of you are probably familiar with Charles Wesley. He was a great church leader a few hundred years ago, and he wrote many hymns. I think Mark looked that up for me. How many hymns, Mark?
More than
6,000 hymns. Even more than Chris Tomlin. I mean, he was really prolific. But Wesley, Charles Wesley, along with hymn writing and being a great church leader, also had a heart for the lost. He loved to share the gospel with people that he thought maybe other people would forget about and wouldn't take the gospel to. And so it was his regular habit to go to Newgate Prison in London, which was a notorious prison there, and it was known for being a very dark and dismal place. And he would go there, and a lot of the men who were there in this prison were condemned to death. And he would go to Newgate Prison, and he would preach. He would share sermon messages. He would sing with the men. He would pray with them. And he would also befriend them. He would take time to get to know these men and for them to know each other. And he also liked to journal a lot. And so I'm going to share with you just a little this morning from his journaling. Charles Wesley wrote about a man who had been a former slave, and he was caught stealing from his master, and he was condemned to Newgate, and he was condemned to die. And as he was waiting for that day to come, he was attending these services that Charles Wesley was conducting there, and they got to be friends. And Charles Wesley was sharing the gospel message with him just in a simple way, one-on-one, and he said in his journal that this man, just his face was just covered with tears. He was just sobbing with astonishment. This man said to Charles Wesley, he said, "Was this for me? That God would leave heaven and come into this world and choose death? Would choose this man who faced the gallows? That Jesus would come and go there for me to die on a cross to save me?" And he said, "I'm just a poor creature. God would do this for me?" Well, this man put his faith in Christ, along with several other men there. The next week was the date when this man was going to be hanged. And Charles Wesley, as he was accustomed to doing, he would come there on that day. There were a lot of people there for really bad reasons. Actually, there at Newgate, they would publicly announce the dates when they were going to have these hangings, and people would come like it was a Colts game. I mean, it was sick. And people would just gather for the spectacle of people losing their life. But Charles Wesley would come, and he would sing with these men as they were being taken out of the prison to go to the gallows, and they would sing hymns together. He would pray with them as they were loaded on this cart. And Wesley, in his journal, and I'm going to quote him, he said that these men that had come to Christ were cheerful as they were bound and taken to be hanged. That they were cheerful, that they were full of comfort and peace and triumph. That they were persuaded and full of confidence that Christ had died for them and waited for them in paradise to receive them. End quote. Wesley said that that hour under the gallows that morning with these men who had received Christ was the most blessed hour of his life. So what happened? What happened to these men that a month earlier, condemned to death, had no hope, had no peace, had no joy? They were just lost in darkness. What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be saved? I think that in answer to that question, we're going to spend eternity glorifying God. In revelation and greater understanding, greater sight, greater ability to comprehend in eternity what Jesus has done for us, we are going to exalt Him. And every day, the worship time in heaven over our Savior and the great salvation. So we're going to look to the Word of God in Ephesians today, in Ephesians 2, but admittedly, we're just barely going to touch the surface of what this means to be saved. And I know that I'm going to have to leave some things out. We're not going to be able to answer this completely. But I think that wherever we are today, that the Spirit of God is going to guide us along as we hear His Word and help us to see Jesus and to glorify Jesus. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 4. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our trespasses. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might display the surpassing riches of His grace, demonstrated by His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance as our way of life, or for us to walk in. So this morning we're going to recognize five things that God has done on our behalf, on the behalf of sinners who were lost, who were dead, who were enslaved. Five things God has done to save us. What does it mean to be saved? First of all, it means God loved us. God loved us. To be saved means God loves you. Verse 4, because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. Sometimes I don't feel very lovable. Sometimes it's hard for me to really, without reservation, accept and receive. But it's true. It's true. I was reading about a pastor who had a large family. He had quite a few kids. And one day he overheard one of the older boys saying to the youngest one, he said, the older child said to the youngest, he said, you know, if you don't obey Dad and you don't do good, he's not going to love you, which upset the youngest child. I love my older brother, but he used to tease me with stuff like that when I was a kid. I don't know if you guys had an older brother who gave you a hard time. He also pointed me to Christ, you know, so he wasn't all bad. But the father called this younger son over to himself, and he said, son, I heard what your brother said, and I need to talk to you about that. That is not true. And the youngest son said, well, Dad, you can't love me if I'm not obeying you, right? I mean, you can't love me if I'm doing wrong things. And his dad said, son, I shall always love you. When you're good, I can love you with a love that makes me really glad. When you're obeying me, I can love you with a happy love. When you're disobedient, I still love you, but I love you with a love that hurts me. That's God's love for us. That's God's love toward us. It is never conditioned on us. It is never conditioned on what a good son or daughter we are that day. Praise God. Amen. He loves us not because we're great kids. He loves us because he's an awesome father. It is out of love that Christ came for us and died in our place and rose again and gave us the gospel and saved us and gave us his spirit. It is out of love. We have no comprehension of the magnitude of this love. Paul prayed for this because he knew this. Talking to the Ephesians, here later in Ephesians in chapter 3, I'll let you turn there if you like, in Ephesians 3, starting in verse 16, Paul wanted the Ephesians to know what he was praying for them. And it wasn't just because Paul needed to say this. They needed this. He's praying for their provision of what they need. And Paul said here in Ephesians 3, starting in verse 16, he said, this is how I pray for you, my brothers and sisters that I care about so deeply. I ask that out of the riches of his glory, because this is what it's going to take, I ask that out of the riches of his glory he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Then you, being rooted and grounded in love, will have power together with all the saints to comprehend the length and the width and the height and the depth of the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I'm telling you, this is some kind of love. This is the love that unless he reveals it in a way that is even beyond knowledge, how he loves us. How he loves us. It is astounding. For eternity, we're going to be grasping new the love of God. To be saved means that God loves us. What else does it mean to be saved? To be saved means God gave us life. To be saved means God gives us life. Back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. God made us alive. He made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our trespasses. It is by grace you have been saved. When you were dead in trespasses and sins, he brought about resurrection. You know, we talked last week about what it means to be lost and how it looks like you're alive, right? If you're a zombie, we kind of live in a world of zombie sin apocalypse or something here, you know, where it looks like all these people are alive, we're all moving around and doing things. And maybe a zombie can put some makeup on and try to look like a living person on the outside, but they don't have life. And they can't give themselves life. Only God can do this. Only God, who is the creator and the author and sustainer of life, can do this. And God gives us himself. He gives us life. Salvation is entirely of God. Paul emphasized that here in chapter 2, in verse 1 and in verse 5. He says, you were dead. It's like, Ephesians, understand this. You aren't bad people. As Brad was praying earlier, you aren't bad people who needed to get good. You aren't even good people who needed to get better. You were dead. You could do nothing. You were helpless and hopeless in sin. And God gave you life in Christ Jesus. Jesus, when he was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Nicodemus was a religious man. Nicodemus knew the Word of God and desired to obey what he understood. And he was a moral man. None of that was enough to save him. He was spiritually dead. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, we must be born again. There's nothing we can do to bring ourselves in our religiosity or our church attendance to have life. It is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. And yet he tells us to share the good news. You know, I know there's some people who hear that and like, oh, well, if it's just all of God giving this gift of life, why should I even share the gospel with people? Why should I even tell people about Jesus? Because that's not going to save them. I mean, if I tell them to do these things or that, then that's not going to make any difference. But Jesus himself said, repent and believe the gospel. How can people repent and believe unless they hear the word? We're commanded to share the gospel. The Bible tells us in Acts, believe, call on the name of the Lord, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. So we bear witness. We share that Jesus is the only way to the Father and bear witness to that. But at the same time, even as we obey that and share that good news, don't ever reduce that to some kind of formula that if we just have the right outreach and use the right message and the right training that somehow anybody's ever going to get saved from that. They're not saved by that. And if there's anything that people need, as much as they need you to share the gospel message, they need you to be in prayer and on your knees crying out to God, God, save them. Because unless he gives them life, no matter what we say or do, it's for nothing. It doesn't make any difference. We are living in a world where we have loved ones who are enslaved, who are captivated by death. And yes, we want to argue with them and reason with them and absolutely share the gospel with them, but more than anything, pray. Because it is a work of God that's going to save them. It's God's going to give a dead person himself. He's going to give them his spirit so that they can believe. In John chapter 1 and verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, but to all who did receive him. That's where it starts. He's giving himself. He's giving life. To those who received him, and then they could believe on his name. They believed in his name. He gave the right to become children of God. Born not of blood, nor of the desire or will of man, but of God. It's God's desire to save. It's his will to save. People receive him. They receive life as receiving him and believe in his name and call on him. Please share the gospel. But don't ever reduce it to one person and another person and you're going to persuade them that their way of thinking is wrong and here's the right way of thinking and you're going to logically wrestle them into salvation. That's not going to happen. It is supernatural. It is Almighty God who created life, giving life. And forgiveness and identity. And it's all of him. What does it mean to be saved? To be saved means that God shares his reign with us. According to verse 6, the Bible says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. This is talking about our position and it's talking about our perspective. God's saying, listen, you were dead in your trespasses and sin, but I didn't leave you in the graveyard. Even though you are still in this world and not of this world, you are also, even as I am in you, you are with me. That's a little hard to understand because physically, you know, I feel like I'm still here. You know, from my perspective, I still am living amongst the things of earth, the stuff of earth. I thought about this and I'm like, Lord, help me to grasp this because I don't entirely get what you're saying. And I thought about my wife sitting in the living room all this past week doing virtual classroom. With virtual classroom, they're not gathered in the room together. The kids and the teachers are not physically together. And yet, there's this connection through the technology where they are together. Even though they're in separate locations, they are sharing thoughts. And they're sharing, you know, some emotion sometimes. And they're instruction and guidance and teaching. And it's a matter of perspective. If those kids hanging out at home in their pajamas in the kitchen were just left without that connection, they're not going to have any guidance or leading or instruction or learning or change, right? But there is that connection, even though they're not physically together. What's that? And some choose, amen. Lord, forgive your messy kids. You know, even like our technology that we have, there are people worshiping the Lord with us right now online. They're not physically here. The Lord's telling us here in His Word, He's saying, listen, you're physically in your pajamas somewhere else. You know, you're physically there. But spiritually, we are teleconferenced. We are together. We're connected in a way that the Lord's saying, I can still teach you and guide you and love on you and direct you and correct you as if we were right next to each other physically. We're connected in that way. And we need to know that. We need to know that and understand that because of that position, because of that connection with Him, my perspective can be entirely different. I can walk by faith and trust in that truth and the one who gave it instead of walking by sight and looking at the mess that I see. That I have a new position alongside Jesus Christ. And if you know that, it'll change your life. What does it mean to be saved? God saved us for His glory. To be saved means God is glorified. To be saved means God is glorified. Definitely a truth I need to hear. Sometimes I make my salvation so much about me. Verse 7. In order that in the coming ages He might display the surpassing riches of His grace, demonstrated by His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. There are times, even this past week, where I started thinking about the road I was on, and I praise God for that because I'm sure that was His guiding my thoughts because I don't want to go there. But just showing me the road that I was on before salvation. And as bad as all the consequences and chaos and pain is in this world from our sin, hell is real. And that's where I was headed. With no ability to change course in myself until He saved me. When we're lost, on our way to hell, on our way to eternal separation from God, and this past week God reminded me of that, and I just started praising Him and thanking Him just for that one thing. God, oh, thank You for saving me from that, for eternity, eternally separated. God, thank You for saving me. And then thank you for life. And thank you for adoption. And even as I praised him for those things and acknowledged how great those things are, it's not about us. It's not about what we got out of it. It's for his honor. It's for his exaltation. It's for his glory. He's the one who paid the price. I didn't pay the price. He's the one who went to the cross for us. He's the one that did all the work, that took all of the wrath for all of our sin on the cross, and he's the one who gets all the glory. He's the one who even beyond that, gives his Spirit and does the work in us that we can receive salvation. He's the one who continues to do the work in us to change us and to change our lives and conform us to the image of Christ. Sometimes in my thinking, I just stop at the cross and I praise him. I just, God, thank you for what you did for me. Amen. And I'm going to go on with my day and do what I want. Sometimes it goes a little further in my thinking. God, thank you that what you did for me, thank you for what you're doing in me. And I just kind of leave it there and walk away. It didn't stop there. God says that he is continually working in us and through us for his glory. For his glory. Verse 10 says, "For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance as our way of life." There's a change that happens. When you go from death to life for his glory, it's conspicuous. You look different. Not immediately, it takes time. But the grave clothes eventually start coming off, and we're clothed in Christ. As we spend time in nearness and abiding to Jesus, as we spend time in his word, as we spend time doing life with him and him living life through us and him changing us, he gives us a new way of living that's not about what we want. It's about what he wants. That's not about what we feel. It's about what he feels. It's not about what we think. It's about what he thinks. It's a life for his glory and his reputation and not ours. It's no longer about us. What does it mean to be saved? To be saved means a new way of living. It means a new way of living. Have you guys seen the TV show The Chosen? Came out. Good stuff. Yeah, I think we're going to do a study series on Wednesday nights here in a few weeks, starting in a few weeks on that. One of the characters in the series, Mary Magdalene, is asked about Jesus. Nicodemus is having a conversation. And Nicodemus saw Mary Magdalene when she was in her old life, before she knew Christ. And man, it was dark. It was a mess. It was demonic. It was evil. And he sees her on the street. He can't believe it, that it's the same person. She is just full of life and full of joy and full of peace and full of goodness. And he sees this and he can't believe it. And he's asking her about this. How did this happen? And Mary Magdalene said, "I was one way, and now I am completely different. And the thing that happened in between was him." That's us. That's us. If you are saved, that's us. You are saved for a new way of living, for a new life. Praise God, we've got the promise of eternal life after we leave this world. But let me just ask this. If you had never put your faith in Christ and never received that gift of forgiveness and cleansing, never received His Spirit, if you had just continued on in death and in lostness, what did He save you from? He saved you from a life of pain, even though life is still difficult, but a life of hopelessness, a life with no help from Him, a life of despair. If a doctor saved your life today, I mean, you would owe them, right? You would owe them the rest of your lifetime. You'd say, you know, I was going to die this week. This doctor did an emergency surgery, and because of that, I've got 20 more years. For that doctor to say, well, I saved your life. I didn't have to. And I want you to go to med school, and you're going to be my assistant, help in this ministry I have of saving people. You owe me that. I saved your life. You were going to be dead for the rest of your time. Jesus, in giving us life, has a reasonable command to us that we would live the rest of our lives for Him. For Him. Our new way of living, part of that is an acknowledgement and a gratitude that God saved us. He saved us from death, and because of that, because He's given us life, the life that He's given us belongs to Him. It doesn't belong to us. My agenda for the day doesn't matter. Only His plan for the day matters. What I feel like saying or justified in my emotions or doing whatever doesn't mean anything because my life is His. Yes, He gave me life, but it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Him. You know, sometimes people think, well, I believe in Him, so that means I just kind of agree with He's God, and that's wonderful, and He's loving, and I'm going to go to heaven, and then just live the rest of their life unchanged. Satan knows he's God. The demons know that he's God. When the Lord says that we are called to believe in Him, He's talking about a full yieldedness of all of our trust. There are times frequently where I do not understand what God's doing. It doesn't matter whether I understand it or not. He says, obey me and trust me. Your life belongs to me. Every moment, yield it to me. Give your life to me. You owe me that. Live a new way. Live a new life that is full of life. We've got a new grandchild coming in a few months, Lord willing, that's going to be born in Florida. Kim and I'm sure we're going to want to fly down there to see Josie, our new grandbaby, when she's born. We've flown on Allegiant several times. Allegiant's cheap. So far, the record's pretty good. We haven't crashed yet, so we're prone to get the cheap tickets and fly Allegiant, you know, to go see our grandbaby. We may drive. I don't know. I like to drive. I can talk all day long about how much I trust in the airlines to get us to Florida. And no matter how much I say that, no matter how many people I say that to, if we get to the airport and I think I'm going to keep one foot in Indiana and stick one foot on the plane and that's going to get me to Florida, it's not going to happen. And the Lord's telling us you can't live the Christian life that way either. It's not about you doing works to earn salvation or for Him to love you. He loves you anyway. He saved you in spite of yourself. And He won't stop loving you because you're having a bad day. But He's saved us for His glory. And part of His glory means we stop trying to figure it out and live our own way. That we just yield our life to Him. and live for Him, a life of confident surrender because of who He is. Ultimately, to be saved means we receive Him. It means we receive Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." He's not just giving you some gift. He's offering you Himself in salvation. He's offering you Himself. All of the glory belongs to Him. I'm going to pray for us. Worship team, you can come back up when you're ready. Lord Jesus, we praise You because You are worthy of all praises, more than we know. Lord, we thank You for the gift of Yourself and the gift of salvation, that You would choose to abide with us, to enable us to receive Your love and Your life, and Your grace and Your forgiveness, that You would give us a new identity in Your family. God, help us to remember that salvation is of the Lord. Lord, You tell us in Your word that all things in heaven and earth, Lord, all things were created through You and for You, and that we do not belong to ourselves. That for Your glory, we belong to You. God, humble us in that. Humble as we think upon ourselves, but confident, God, in how awesome You are. And what an amazing thing You've done on the cross to save us. Lord, we pray for those who have not yet received life. Lord, You tell us that anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That You are a God who is faithful to Your word, Lord. And that those who will put their trust in You for salvation, that You will do it. No matter who they are, no matter what they've done. God, we pray for that miracle today. For those here and those listening online, Lord, and those in our families, in our workplaces, our friends who have just been walking in the zombie graveyard of this world without life, God, that You would do a miracle. Lord, we know that You are the only one who can do it. And we know that You are full of mercy. So God, we pray for Your mercy now. That it would please You and glorify You to give the gift of salvation, the gift of Yourself, to people who are listening right now. That they would call upon the name of Jesus and be saved. Lord, it's in Your name we pray. Amen.